today and you're visiting with us. We are so glad that you chose to worship with us today. We've been in a series the last basically 2 months, almost to July, and now almost to the end of August, in a series called Just Ask, where we've kind of opened it up to you to ask questions about the Bible, things that you've had on your heart or on your mind that you've wanted to know about the Lord and His Word. And so we have one more week left to go in this series. Next week, we will close out, and Tyler will bring the final message in this series. Then the following week, it's Labor Day weekend, and we'll have an 80s video to kick that off, Working for the Weekend. Maybe you remember that song from the 80s, Working for the Weekend. And then we'll start a new series in September, Who is My Neighbor? Who is My Neighbor? Well, if you happen to have missed any of the messages in this series and you want to see some of the questions that were submitted, we had some good ones. And you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. It's good to have you with us. Well, the question that was submitted today was, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? And I must admit that this is something that I wrestle with. When something bad happens to me in my life, when I get discouraged or down or depressed, and maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're discouraged about something. Maybe you're upset about something. Maybe you're depressed about something. When that happens to me, my first instinct is to blame God. What this a preacher talked about here, his name is Vody Bachman. What he talked about was the supremacy of man, and I believe the world revolves around me. That's how I often operate and think. That's kind of my default mode, and it doesn't revolve around me. I'm reminded of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. The very first day says, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about the supremacy of Christ. Nevertheless, my first question to God is, why did you allow this to happen to me? Right? As if you are supposed to make things work according to my agenda and my plans. You could have prevented this from happening in my life, this death or this tragedy or this situation that I'm experiencing are going through right now. And while that is true, God could have prevented that from happening, I probably shouldn't have done what I did, whatever it is that I did. Solomon says in Proverbs 19:3, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. Isn't that how it works? Sometimes we ruin our lives by what we do, and then we kind of blame God for the foolish things that we did. Well, what is it that you're angry / upset about today? What is it that has you kind of stirred up or maybe all tied up in knots today that you're kind of angry or unsettled about or upset about today? We're going to look at a few different passages today and kind of jump around a little bit and kind of look at a lot of bad things that happened in the Bible and hopefully come out on the other side with what God's will is for us when those things do happen. And so what is it that you're angry or upset about today? Maybe it's what someone did to you or how someone treated you. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at family. Maybe it's at school, what they said to you, how they looked at you, what they did. I'm reminded of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Most of you know that story, but just as a little refresher, Joseph had every right to be angry at his brothers. Maybe you're angry at a brother or sister today, or a mom or dad or someone in your family. Do you remember what they did to him? Do you remember what they did to Joseph? They sold him to some Ishmaelite traders. They sold him into slavery. What did they do with him? Well, they sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. And what happened when he was in Potiphar's house? Do you remember the story? Potiphar's wife hits on Joseph. Joseph refuses to sleep with her. Praise the Lord. What is the reward for his faithfulness to God? For doing what is good, doing what's right, and refusing to sleep with Potiphar's wife. What's his reward? He's thrown in prison. He is thrown in prison. How long is he in prison? Well, the Word of God says for 2 full years. Right? We count the days when something bad is happening to us. We're in a bad situation. And so the Bible says 2 full years. No doubt he had to be asking, why did God allow this to happen to him? In fact, while he's in prison, he says to the chief cupbearer, one of Pharaoh's attendants, I did nothing to deserve this. I did nothing to deserve what's happening to me right now. Maybe that's how you feel. What I've experienced in my life right now, I don't deserve this. What's going on in our marriage right now, this isn't fair. I don't deserve it. Here's what he says in Genesis 40, verse 15. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, right? Things have gone from bad to worse, but I did nothing to deserve it. And maybe that's how you feel today. Just like Joseph here. Maybe you feel like you've been imprisoned in this situation yourself. You did nothing to deserve the treatment you're receiving from so-and-so. The cold shoulder, the angry looks, the distance, whatever it is. What is it I want you to know? I want you to know that God hasn't forgotten about you and your situation. He is well aware of your situation. How do I know this? Because God hadn't forgotten about Joseph and his situation. Do you remember what happened to Joseph? After 2 full long years, he was in prison. He was promoted to what? The second in command of all of Egypt. What did this mean? Well, if you remember the story, it simply meant that his brothers would have to come to him for grain when there was a famine in the land. How did his brothers react when Joseph revealed his identity? Do you remember that moment when Joseph revealed who he was? They reacted with shock. In awe, in fear. What did Joseph say to them? I love how the book of Genesis kind of closes or wraps up with this verse here in Genesis 50, verses 19 through 21. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about what I want. I've learned that. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me. You intended to make life miserable for me. But God intended it all for good." We know that verse in Romans, right? 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That's what he says here. God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position. He brought me to this place where I'm at today. He had a reason and a purpose for why these things happened to me in my life. So I can save what? The lives of many people. It's all about him, his glory, his honor, and his praise. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children, right? You meant to harm me. You're my brothers, but you know, don't be afraid. God's going to take care of you. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Perhaps today, you need to be reassured that everything's going to be okay. Because it feels like the wheels have fallen off, And so perhaps today you need to be reassured in your life about some things that it is going to be okay. Well, I am here to tell you that it will be. Why? Not because I say so, but because God is the one who is in control. God is the one who is in control of your life and the world in which we live today. Right now, you may be saying, well, Ed, you don't understand. I feel like I've lost everything. Yeah, well, so did Job. Let's kind of jump into another story. Well, what did Job start with? Do you remember what he started with? Let's look here. Job 1, verses 1 and 2. There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. Sounds like a nursery rhyme that I read to my 4-year-old. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He was honest, upright. He feared God and stayed away from evil. More than I could do, right? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. What did Job lose? Those of you who have read the book of Job, I want to encourage you. If you've never read it, it's a great book, a great story. It's not just a story. The Word of God is living and active, right? It's alive. It's real. It happened. What did Job lose? He not only lost everything, but he lost his 7 sons and 3 daughters. If you've lost a loved one, you know what that feels like, right? If you lost a loved one, you know what that... He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. I can't even imagine. His wife, the one who's supposed to be loyal to him, faithful to him, supporting him, she tells him to curse God and die. Gee, thanks for the support. Did he? No. Nevertheless, he questions why God allowed this to happen to him. His friends, his so-called friends, said he must have done something wrong. You must have done something wrong to deserve this. He didn't. He didn't do anything wrong. Instead, he was a pawn. In a game of chess, Satan was out to prove that Job wasn't a man of complete integrity. Did he pass the test? Well, you know the story. He did. What was his reward? Well, the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life with even more than he had to start with. Finishing Job 42, 12 and 13, 16 and 17. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, not 7,000, 14,000, 6,000 camels, 1,000 team of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died an old man who had lived a long, full life. You read this and you think to yourself, so is everyone who is a Christian guaranteed to live a long, full life? I give my life to Jesus, believing that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day, and now I'm guaranteed to have a peachy, rosy, long, full life? No. Why not? Well, you know, sometimes the Lord takes us to be with him to spare us from this evil world in which we live. And I'll tell you, the world we live in today is evil. Man, it is getting more and more. And sometimes the Lord takes us to be with him to spare us from this evil world in which you live. Oh, Lord, take me to be with you today. Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. Those who follow what? Godly paths. Those who follow the Lord. Those who seek first his kingdom and his righteousness will rest in peace. Maybe you haven't been able to rest lately. Maybe you haven't been able to rest lately. Maybe you're not sleeping good. Why is that? Because you've got too much going on in your mind. You got too much on your plate and too much going on in your mind that you can't even sleep at night. You've been unable to rest. Who's someone in the Bible who had too much going on in his mind? How about the Apostle Paul? What did he have to say about the trouble he went through in the province of Asia? About the hardship, the difficulties, the things that he had going on? I like this passage here, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. He says to the Corinthians, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. We think you ought to know about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. We thought we were going to die. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's the question we're asking and answering or attempting to answer today. Well, Paul tells us right here, why do bad things happen to good people? So that we might learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. Right? So when we have trouble and stress and anxiety and we can't sleep at night, it's so that we might learn to rely only on God and not on ourselves. Only on the God who raises the dead. What is it you're relying on today? What is it that you're anchored to, that you put all your eggs into that basket that you're relying on? Is it your 401k? Don't rely on it. Why? Well, my favorite book in the Bible, Book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us why. Solomon says in 5:14 through 17, money is put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is what? Lost. In the end, there's nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work, all these things that we're obsessed and consumed about is for nothing. Like working for the wind. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. Yeah, that's how I live sometimes, under a cloud. Frustrated, discouraged with things, and angry. My wife, Monica, tells me my favorite word is discouraged. Not discouraged, frustrated, sorry. I guess it's because they use that word all the time, frustrated. All the time I'll tell her, I'm frustrated with this situation. Why is that? Why am I frustrated all the time? Or discouraged or angry about something that's going on or happening? I guess it's because I've taken my eyes off of Jesus. I've taken my eyes off of what's important. What should be the most important thing in my life? Or what is the most important thing in my life? It's my relationship with Jesus. That, first and foremost, should be the most important thing in my life. What do we know about those who are in a relationship with Jesus? They will suffer. Those of us who are seeking the Lord, following the Lord, pursuing the Lord, we will suffer in this world today. And we're already seeing it, and we're going to see more and more of it. Should we be surprised by the suffering that we're experiencing today? Peter says no. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19, he says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, this junk and this garbage, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with who? You and me, God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what's right. I don't know what it is you're going through today, but keep on doing what's right. Don't give up. You keep on doing the right thing. And trust your lives to the God who saves you, who created you. He will never fail you. Maybe you feel like God has failed you. Maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe you feel like God has just failed you. He hasn't. He just has something better planned for you. Let me say that again. God, he just has something better planned for you. Don't believe me? Look at the Hall of Fame chapter of faith. What do we know about the saints in Hebrews 11? Hebrews 11 is often called the Hall of Fame chapter of faith. We're not talking about football here, Hall of Fame, right? We're talking about the saints, although I know you're excited. A lot of you talking to me about the Lions already. What do we know about the saints in Hebrews 11? Some of them did receive what God had promised them. Some of them did. Some of them received what God had promised them. Hebrews 11, 32 through 35. The author of Hebrews says, "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jacob, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death." What happened to those who didn't receive all that God had promised them? What happened to those who didn't receive all that God had promised them? Continuing on, verse 35. "But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. we just kind of glance over this and read it quick. Sawed in half for being a Christian. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. This world in which we live in today, they were too good for this world. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation. Why? Because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. I don't know about you, but I want things to be perfect in my life. I want everything in my life to be perfect. I expect things to be perfect. That's why I constantly live in disappointment, because things aren't perfect. Things are far from perfect. There is only one perfect person, Jesus. What do we know about Jesus and his life as we get close to wrapping up, as we look at him? Why do bad things happen to good people? Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and treated harshly, treated like garbage, yet he never said a word. I'm always like, man, I want to say something to them. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal and put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and to cause him grief. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Did you hear that last part? God's plan was to crush him and cause him grief. Perhaps you're crushed by what happened recently in your life. Perhaps even today you're crushed by what happened in your marriage or at work or in this relationship or in this thing that you're doing. You can't believe what is happening. And because of this, you can't stop grieving. Listen. Listen. God is working to accomplish something much bigger in your life. God is working to accomplish something bigger in your life. He has a bigger vision than what you can see and what you know. He wants to use you and this pain that you're going through and that you're experiencing for his glory, honor, and praise. Peter says it like this. These trials, this stuff, this garbage, whatever it is that you're dealing with, these trials will show that your faith is genuine, that it's real. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Your faith is far more precious than mere gold, Peter says. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Someday we're going to see him. The whole world's going to see Jesus. Was Jesus' faith tested? Yeah. Did it remain strong was he satisfied with what was accomplished? When on the cross he said, "It is finished." Was he satisfied? Yeah. Isaiah 53:10. But when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted as righteous. Right in his sight? How good is that? For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier. Why? Because he exposed himself to death. What is the Lord asking us to do? What is he asking you and me to do today? To open up and be willing to expose ourselves to death. In other words, to die to ourselves. This is a moment-by-moment thing, an hour-by-hour, day-by-day. Because I naturally live for myself. Going back to the beginning, I start with the supremacy of man, not the supremacy of Christ. I have to continue to die to myself. Why did you allow this to happen to me, God? It's not about me. You could have prevented this from happening.
Separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Paul says every day, I felt like I was going to die. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. What is it I want you to know? Overwhelming victory is yours through Christ who loves you. Let me say that again. Overwhelming, you may not feel victorious this morning, right? You may feel defeated. But the truth is, overwhelming victory is yours through Christ who loves you. Satan's going to feed you lies, tell you things that aren't true, but overwhelming victory is yours through Christ who loves you, not only in this life, but in the life to come. So don't let this thing defeat you, whatever it is that you're dealing with today. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it defeat you and discourage you. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Now maybe you're here today and you say, "Ed, I've never given my life to the Lord. I've never surrendered my life to the Lord." here today and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I have things backwards in my life. I haven't been looking at the big picture, and I've been focused on this thing that happened, and I've taken my eyes off of Jesus. Would you pray for me? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Ed, I need Jesus. Some bad things have happened to me in my life, and I've always felt like God has failed me. But today I see clearly how much he loves me. And even for his own son, his plan was to crush him and cause him grief. And look at what came out of that, our salvation. And so if you're here today and you say, Ed, I need Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I've just taken my eyes off of the Lord. And I feel that's why I'm in the situation I'm in today. I haven't put my faith in him. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray for myself. I pray that we would fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. May we endure whatever it is that comes our way, Lord Jesus. And remember that you have a plan and a purpose. We may not see it, we may not understand it, but we do know that you love us, and nothing can ever separate us from the love you have for us. May we